Hear the prayer for illumination. Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover your peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The first reading is the 84th Psalm, and it is we are going to read it responsively together, so it is in your pew Bible, either on page 513, or if you have a large print, on page 667. So we are reading from the New Revised Standard Version.
How are we divided?
Pardon?
How are we divided?
I'll start. You're next. And we'll just alternate throughout. I said we'll read it responsively. And the two Selahs, if you were here the last time I was the liturgist, you might remember that I did a little research on Selah, which you see two times in this psalm. Not totally clear about the meaning. I mean, scholars aren't totally clear, not just me. But we will pause briefly there to reflect on what we've just read. So we'll do that two times. Let's read responsively Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God.
And there are those who live in your house, ever singing your praise.
Happy are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion.
As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools.
They go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed.
For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than live in the tents of wickedness.
For the Lord God is a sun and shield. He bestows favor and honor. No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly.
O Lord of hosts, happy is everyone who trusts in you.
Let us attend to the reading from the New Testament, the letter to the church at Ephesus, 6th chapter, 10th through 20th verses. Finally, be strengthened by the Lord in his powerful strength. Put on God's armor so that you can make a stand against the tricks of the devil. We aren't fighting against human enemies, but against rulers, authorities, forces of cosmic darkness, and spiritual powers of evil in the heavens. Therefore, pick up the full armor of God so that you can stand your ground on the evil day and after you have done everything possible to still stand. So, stand with the belt of truth around your waist, justice as your breastplate, and put shoes on your feet so that you are ready to spread the good news of peace. Above all, carry the shield of faith so that you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. Offer prayers and petitions in the Spirit all the time. Stay alert by hanging in there and praying for all believers. As for me, pray that when I open my mouth, I'll get a message that confidently makes this secret plan of the gospel known. I am an ambassador in chains for the sake of the gospel. Pray so that the Lord will give me the confidence to say what I have to say. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O God, indeed our rock and our redeemer. There's sort of three sections to this passage. The first one's the intro. It says, put on the armor so you can stand against the tricks of the devils, and it's this whole list of what we're supposed to stand against. There's some puzzles in here for me. This feels a little paranoid. I don't know how else to put it. You know, I bet most of us here don't really believe there are cosmic forces working to do us in. We just don't think that way, probably. Is that unfair? I mean, and so it sounds, what's that with? Now, as I was looking at this, I remembered this lovely little book, Screwtape Letters. Okay. Any of you read it? If you haven't, it's worth a reread. It's a fun, easy read by C.S. Lewis. And the vehicle is he has a senior tempter or devil telling the younger devil how to do his job and coaching him on how to be a good devil, a good tempter. And what happens is the temptations aren't these big, horrible things out there. There are these things that really go on in us. And when I think about that, one of my favorite theologians, Pogo, we have met the enemy and he are us. And I think there's truth in that. A theologian I like, philosopher, talks about humans having trouble with inordinate self-interest, sloth, and lethargy. We want to take care of ourselves and we want to find the easy way. Those probably are the fertile ground in which the C.S. Lewis type tempter can work. So to me, instead of having to deal with those big forces out there, sorry to say, I got to look in the mirror and deal with me. The other thing in here is, why don't we react as David when we hear this thing? You know, Phil, I asked Phil, because when I read this passage, I said, if there's ever a Phil Dillman piece to do, that's it. And if you look at the cover of the bulletin, Phil drew a cover for us. All that armor? Come on. Why don't we react like David? You remember that story? He was going against Goliath. And Goliath, they put the armor on him and he couldn't even walk around. It was so heavy. He said, I don't want this. He took that which was light and usable and what he knew. So I think for us, how do we find not the armor, but what the armor provides for us? Let's talk about that a little bit and see if we can unpack that. The belt of truth. I think another way to think about the belt of truth is it becomes seeking the truth and looking at the hard questions. The session and I were talking about the need to do a mission study, and they said, it says hard questions. What are hard questions? Probably don't know what they are for you, but they're the ones you want to dance away from usually. They're the elephant in the room, the thing we know we need to talk about but don't. So the belt of truth really is being willing to open ourselves to the truth, even if sometimes it's a hard truth. Justice is a breastplate. Justice really is about God caring and loving and wanting good for each and every one of his children. And so if we put on that breastplate, we take on those values of embracing God's care for his children that he loves so dearly, especially those that others would ignore and throw on the dust heap. Shoes. Boy, we wear a lot of different kinds of shoes, but these are running shoes. Think about it. They're shoes that let you travel. They're shoes that let you go places. Could quote Dr. Seuss about the places you go. I won't go there today. But this traveling, this being ready to go, may not mean physically. It may mean going to uncomfortable places. Places we would rather not go in terms of relationships, parts of our community, parts of our lives. That's a kind of traveling, and we say, I don't want to go there. And maybe the reason we have those shoes, the gift of a willingness to travel, is to let us go into those places with the good news of peace. The shield of faith. I don't think the shield is a thing. I don't think faith is a thing. Faith is the willingness to believe and trust. It's not a thing. It's an action. To me, as a parent, one of the most special times is when I get ready to cross the street or go to a scary place and I put down a hand and my child, or now my grandchildren, take my hand and we can walk. This business of having faith means we're willing to be that one who puts up a hand and trusts that God will get us where we need to go safely. Helmet of salvation. Salvations, we kick that one around a lot, don't we? What does it mean? Finally, I think it means knowing that each and every one of us is precious to God. We are valued by God, regardless of how unworthy we feel. Honestly, I have a hard time believing God would put up with me. And I bet we all do at some level. If we were God, would we put up somebody like us? Probably not. Salvation is talking about the fact that God is committed to putting up with each and every one of us as we are, and that our relationship with God is rock solid, not because of who we are or what we do, but because of who God is and what God does. The sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. I think that involves us really believing that God's word still works. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be up here on Sunday. Yeah, the Bible's got all sorts of strange stuff in it. It's got all sorts of historical problems and all. And yet, somehow through that, God's word, which addresses us in our lives, can become alive. You know, one of our sister denominations, the UCC, had an ad they ran for a time. It said, "God is speaking still." Have you ever seen that ad? Yeah. I believe that. We're not a historical society. We're people gathered in part around God's word to be instructed, to be fed, to be nourished, to be challenged, and to be sent. So we have all these things that we could talk about as the armor pieces. Our others are things, belief, trusting, knowing we're good with God, all those things are things that are there for us. And why? The next, last part of the passage breaks it into two things. So the part of it is so we can offer prayers and petitions in the Spirit all the time. Stay alert by hanging in there and praying for all believers. So part of the reason we're given these gifts is to hang in there, to pray for each other. We're learning to pray for First in the Heights now, even, you know? P-R-A-Y, not P-R-E-Y. We're learning to pray more and more for one another. That's why our time of prayer is so important, I think. Because we've been given all of this in part to pray. And the last little bit is the author saying, "Hey, I need some help here. Pray for me." At the risk of being self-seeking, please pray for me. I need it. But I think there's more here. My belief about what it means to be a part of the body of Christ, members of the church, not just this congregation, but the church, is that each one of us has a unique call, a unique ministry, a unique set of gifts to use in the church. If we were all cooks and didn't have dishwashers, that'd be a mess. You know how it goes, okay? Think about it. So each of us has our part, our place. What I encourage you to do is to take a moment and think about what's your place. What is it God has called you to do and to be in the church? I'm going to be quiet. Think about it. If you can't figure it out, at least guess. Kind of know where you fit. Which of these pieces of armor, which of those skills, those gifts from God, do you need to do that which you've been called to do? Have a sense of which one you really need? My encouragement to you right now is to imagine making that yours, or if it's the armor, put it on. Imagine doing that and what that feels like what it is to know that you have that. Because once you've done that, we're ready, you are in the position to be able to do ready, set,